This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
في ليلة من الليالي لست أدري ما تراني ظلمة تغمرني يا رب الأرض ضاقت والسماء وقلبي ما عرف الضياء والدمع بات أبكي يا إلهي يا إلهي
If you look at this hadith, and there's a narration that will come up later that will repeat this, and there's actually many other narrations similar to this hadith, we find that the Prophet ﷺ has emphasized the right of the mother more so than the father, and more so than anyone else, because we know that the family comes first in our relations with society. And here the mother has been emphasized, and then the father, and then the family people, and then we know then the rest of the people will follow after that, as we will come to later on in the book. And it's actually an ijma' amongst the scholars of Islam that the mother takes priority of being respected, and her rights being fulfilled, i.e. to be good to her and to be kind to her takes priority upon the father. There's an ijma' upon that. Despite the fact that the scholars in the books of fiqh also say that the father has more right to be obeyed. His right individually is greater. His decision is greater. His command to you is greater. You have a greater obligation to obey him other than your mother. Yet the mother has a greater right to be shown ihsan and birr, and i.e. to be dutiful to her, to help her, to have kindness to her. And actually this is very clear from not just the ahadith, especially here, three times the Prophet ﷺ mentioning again and again, and in other narrations more than three times, that the mother was more deserving of the birr, of the son or the child. But this is clear in the Qur'an, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالَدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ in Surah Al-Luqman. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have enjoined upon man to be good to his parents, he mentions parents, الْوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. And then what does he say after mentioning the parents? He said, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, his mother bore him in weakness and hardship. So after the parents, it is the mother who has been singled out as the one who has taken the hardship and gone through all the stress and the hassle that we know, that gives her this maqam. And actually we shouldn't be surprised by that, because the link between the mother and the child, you know, everyone knows about that. No one needs to be taught about the link of rahmah and love that is specifically unique between the child and the mother. A link of mercy, a link of rahmah. And that itself is beautiful, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, has told us to ask Him Azza wa Jal to have mercy upon the parents. And that's why the mother's womb, that place which we get our shelter and protection at the time when we're most desperate and in need for it, is called the rahim. It is called the rahim. It's from the same root verb as rahmah. So we can see the link. The rahim itself is where the child develops during pregnancy. And then when it comes out, it is the continual link of the Prophet ﷺ, the continual link of the mother to the child through rahmah, and an intense form of rahmah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعَبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبْرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَكُنْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. It's beautiful, the specific words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses in this ayah. And your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him, and that you be dutiful to your parents. And if one of them or both of them attain old age in your life, say not to them a word of disrespect, nor shout at them, but address them in terms of honor. And lower unto them the wing of submission and humility through mercy. And say, my Lord, bestow on them your mercy, as they did bring me up when I was young. And this, Yani, is almost a return of the rahmah that you have taken from her, that you have been cultured in. Her great role of giving you tarbiyah, that is almost natural to her. It's almost like the mother is a walking form of rahmah, based and centralized around the womb itself. Your home, what produced you, what looked after you, what protected you, what fed you. So when we understand this link, and then we understand then how important it is for us to appreciate birr in its correct way, and how to give the parents the right that they deserve. And we can also see that this order in the hadith, by the way, where the Prophet ﷺ mentions the mother's right three times, and then compares it to the father on the fourth occasion. It's a 3-to-1 ratio. And we see that in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالَدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ قُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ قُرْهًا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا. I.e., and we have enjoined on man to be dutiful and kind to his parents. His mother bears him with hardship, and she brings him forth with hardship. And the bearing of him and the weaning is in 30 months. And so we can see that the Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, by showing that yani, the mother and her right is given a 3-to-1 ratio to the father, is almost as if he is specifying these three stages which the mother specifically is particular to her only, this quality, this ability to do that naturally as the mother. She will get a reward and she gets a right equal to that. The father cannot do anything in these three stages, he has no role in that. And so the mother cleans up in these areas. And if you look at these actions, the first, the action of pregnancy, and you know, I mean, if you're not married and you've not been able to observe this, then it's very difficult. But if you see the sickness and the tiredness and the difficulty that a woman goes through when she's pregnant with her child, and not just the difficulty, but the things that she has to give up, so many things that she enjoys that she has to give up, and her free time has to be now sacrificed, and she can't go to places that she'd like to, and she has to go through much difficulty. And then the giving of birth, I mean, subhanAllah, I mean, let me tell you something, no woman can ever understand and appreciate the pain of birth unless she gives birth herself, and then she understands automatically. And no man, okay, can describe that unless he sees it, okay? If you haven't seen your wife give birth, then, you know, you just don't know where to talk. And let me tell you something, it's something which is absolutely incredible, and something totally ajeeb. I still have a jacket, okay? When my wife gave birth to Isa, my eldest son, she grabbed my jacket so hard, and she her fingernails dug into the material, and she ripped my jacket. And Swan is still there. I mean, it's a total good jacket, wasted. And you know, honestly, it's I remember, because you know, she was under gas and she's screaming her head off, and you know, I don't know, but she had me with the hands and she was like this, and I was being pulled in like this, and I'm, what am I doing here? And she was not with me at all. She was on another planet altogether. She was screaming at me. You cannot imagine that moment and that pain. You can't. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognizes it. And then you move on to the next stage. The stage of the weaning and the culturing and the bringing up of the child. The breastfeeding and the difficulties in that. Again, the restriction of lifestyle. The difficulties that one has to go. You know, I don't know if you can understand, people will tell you, or if you've seen it, the tiredness of the mother, the sleepless nights, how early she wakes up and so on. And what makes it even worse is that often the husband is going to be sleeping right next to her, and in a different world altogether, doesn't know what is going on, absolutely innocent, just doesn't care, where hasn't got a thought in the world for what's happening next, right next door. And the mother is going through so much stress and hassle and pain. And so here, these are three things which are specific to the mother. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned her three times. And then we start to reach parity now. Or do we? Because then the father now starts to take his position of tarbiyah. But it's not like as if suddenly he takes over. I mean, fathers, do you know that once they're you see that as Allah says, 30 months Allah mentions in the Qur'an. 30 months is equal to 2 years of weaning and a minimum pregnancy of 6 months. Okay, that's very important, because obviously 9 months is the normal pregnancy time. But the Qur'an, and that's a miracle itself, by the way, in the Qur'an, that it shows that it's possible The Quranic worldview understands that a 6-month pregnancy is a viable pregnancy, and a viable child is produced. And this ayah has very important ramifications in the rulings of zina, okay, and the rulings of giving qada, of judging against cases where people come, you know, to give you a very brief example, if a couple get married and 6 months after the day of marriage, there's a child. So automatically you're thinking, astaghfirullah, what's happened here? Right? 6 months? I mean, it should be 9 months, right? And Ali radiallahu an, if I remember correctly, gave qada, and he ruled in favor. And obviously this happened, and the father said, you know, you've done zina, all right? And then you married me. You know, how can I have had a child within 6 months, at least 9 months or 10 months or something? How straight away? But the Ali radiallahu an gave qada. At that time, don't think about our scientific advancements now where we can work out dates and blah, blah. No. That was at that time, Ali radiallahu anhu said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that her weaning is 30 months, 30 shahra, which means we know that from the other fisal huwa amin, in the other ayah that we mentioned last session, that the weaning is in 2 years. But this one, which is 24 months, but here it's 30 months, which means that 6 months must be the pregnancy itself. And so therefore, if Allah says that a pregnancy of a child can be 6 months there, and then 2 years afterwards, 24 months afterwards, therefore it means that the 6 month child is viable, and this child actually is yours. And so he ruled against the husband, and they were happy with that. So then, you know, this shows that some of the ayat can be used in such a very deep sense by the scholars of fiqh when they're making qada and judgment. But as I said, these three things, these three qualities and characteristics, they are specific to the mother. But then the father doesn't suddenly come and take over and do everything. The mother herself then plays an equal role in spending upon the child and feeding the child and clothing the child, you know, throughout the rest of the years. In fact, more so than not, the mother does much more than the father. The mother does much more than the father, even at this stage. And as we said before, the role of tarbiyah, the key role of parents, okay, to make this child cultured and bring them up in a way to get the golden objective achieved, which is that the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is understood and achieved and affirmed by the child. The mother is the one who is responsible for that. The mother is not, they say, just that behind every great man is a great woman. But behind every great nation is a woman. Because the woman is absolutely key. The mother is key in developing these characteristics and these emotions and the behavior of a child that he or herself will not only recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the greatest of purity, but then be able to interact with the rest of society to make it a real community, a real nation. And that's the maqam of the mother. The ulama also mentioned, and again, Ibn Hajar radiallahu anhu, he precedes everyone in that, in mentioning some of the other reasons why the mother is more emphasized almost, or why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exaggerated more in the haqq, in the right of the mother over the father. One of these reasons is that, you know the mother, right? Your relationship with her, your closeness to her is always behind, behind closed doors. It's in the house, it's out of the way of the people. People do not see your day-to-day interaction with your mother, but with your father is very, very different. Your father by nature and by his going to the masjid and going to work and so on is very much outside the house, but the mother is always inside the house. And this itself, yani, as you well know, means that you can get away with a lot more against your mother than you can with your father. And so often because of that, her rights, okay, the children almost get a greater audacity almost to try and pull off acts against their mother of disobedience and being rude and so on and so on, that they would not be able to do against their father. Not just because the father is stronger, but just basically because he's in front of the people. You know, you know that is a very silly thing to try and do something with your father and then go and meet him with your friend. He will do your bestie publicly. He will really embarrass you in front of someone. I mean, forget about the whole idea of it being a sin, but he can come and he meets an uncle and you're there, and then your uncle will say, you know, he's a good lad, your son, and then, yeah, oh yeah, really? He does this and he says that, and he does this, says that, and then he'll tell him, and then he'll tell the shopkeeper, and then you're telling him, you're thinking, oh my God, why did I come out with you in the first place? Just to be just slated and slated and slated. And that's the nature, isn't it? It's the nature of our tabi'ah to do that. And also we know that the mother herself by her nature, she's a lot more softer, a lot more weaker as well. And that makes her more vulnerable. And unfortunately, it makes her almost more vulnerable to contempt on our behalf, on our side. And when someone has that contempt, they find it easier to establish authority and to be more forceful with someone like that. And that's another problem. And again, so therefore the Prophet ﷺ, who is almost trying to recognize that inequality in the relationship, and then trying to defend that principle. Trying to defend the principle that the mother is already disadvantaged compared to the father, and so we need to now make it up, to make it emphasize her right even more. Not only do we see this weakness, not only do we see this weakness and recognize it, but also its effect upon us makes us worse. How? We know that the mothers, we all do, because our biggest problem, if you ever wanted to see a major source of the lack of blessings and problems, you know, amongst our community, amongst the Muslims, it is because we mistreat our mothers, okay? And we do it so easily. And you know, they don't help us. They really don't help us in this action, because their nature is, because of their weak nature, because they're so soft, they get angry very, very quickly, because their love for the children is more than the normal love that can be seen. It's very intense, and they get very, very upset at little things that you do. They're very, very close to you, and sometimes, you know, we cannot appreciate that. And what happens often is that they cry a lot, and we know that mothers cry a lot. That's by in her nature. And we know that they get very angry, and we know on how many times have we heard the du'as against us. Day and night making du'as against us, and they never mean to, but they go away and saying this and saying that, whatever. And that's because of her nature. And then that caused the child to become angry, you know, and it's often without any good reason. You do something and suddenly she will just go off and you think, SubhanAllah, what have I done? What's happening? And so then that causes a greater sense of contempt almost, and a greater sense of anger in the child. And they try to then push that off, and then, you know, it almost becomes a vicious circle, gets worse and worse. And we're all guilty of that, everyone. And so here the Prophet ﷺ has recognized this anomaly, recognized the nature of the woman, and therefore emphasized, if it wasn't already enough in the Qur'an by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, after worship him, be good to the parents. Not only making it from the absolute individual obligations, not only as we come to see making disobedience to them from the kaba'ir, from the deadly and the major sins, okay, but then in our own understanding, the Prophet ﷺ in a more subtle way is saying, she has more right to be treated good. She has more right that you be dutiful to her. She has more right for you to have more patience with her. And it's important that we understand these weaknesses and these problems. Because if we do, then we now know not to fall into the trap. We now know that, okay, this is how she is, but she can't help some of these things. We should recognize that. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ recognized that, so why can't we recognize that? So then once you understand these kind of characteristics and you appreciate that more, then we can hopefully be able to make the haqiq and achieve our goal of giving her more love and more concern and more kindness and so on. And her maqam, of course, you might say, you know, really is her maqam, her status, really deserving of such a high pressure upon us to maintain? And of course, there's no doubt about that, one little bit, right? And we have a very famous narration from Ibn Umar, the narrator of the previous narration, when he was sitting in the haram, and a man came making tawaf, okay, with his mother on his back, okay, and he came to Ibn Umar and he said, you know, have I fulfilled my right to my mother? And Ibn Umar said, لا ولا زفرة. You have not even done a zafra. And you know what a zafra is? A zafra is, in this narration, it's the sound, it's like a moan, it's the intake of breath, okay, during labor. Okay? So your making tawaf hasn't even reached the level of one of them sounds that your mother went through while she was giving birth to you. I mean, you know, if you think about that, this is a beautiful, a graphic illustration of the right of the mother upon us, so that we can appreciate how much we need to give her birr, and how much that we are deficient in giving her birr. I mean, today, subhanAllah, look at our society, look at our people. We take a shopping, we think that we've saved the world. We take a to the corner shop and we think we've done the whole world a favor. And you know, we're talking about Hajj and Tawaf, right? Yeah, people think, right, I'm going to take my parents to Hajj as they've done some huge, big action. And then, you know, oh, my mother's old, so I'm going to take her in a wheelchair. And, you know, people say that, right? And they probably say it because they don't realize what they're doing, what they're saying. I took my mother around, I did a Hajj or Umrah with my mother in a wheelchair, right? And they probably paid someone else to do the wheeling as well, right? And they make it out like to be a big thing. And they should read this narration. I mean, listen, try carrying her on your back, make the tawaf, and then realize that you haven't even repaid back yani that one little sound that your mother actually experienced and she made when she was going through the pains of giving birth to you. So subhanAllah, her maqam is something which really is very difficult for us to understand. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the authentic narration said that yani be at her feet, for thumbal jannah, for paradise is at her feet. You'll find paradise there. It's there. If you want to get to Jannah, you will find it at the feet of your mother. You will find it in her service. You'll find paradise by obeying her and keeping her happy. Why? Because only the one who is able to make absolute perfect tahqiq, okay, absolutely perfectly achieve keeping her mother happy, that kind of person will be a person of paradise. That kind of person, that kind of quality will be a person of paradise. And that's all, you know, that we have time for inshallah in this session, and hopefully we'll complete the hadith in the next. Wa jazakumullahu khair wa subhanakallahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka allahumma wa atubu.